Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, March the 28th, 89th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor for the remainder of the year, Jimmy Smith. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Brian. It's always a delight to be here with you.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what you say in November, December on that one, huh? This afternoon, we got a couple different things to talk about. Wind power and mineral rights. Do they go hand in hand? Maybe they do, maybe they don't. And what may it mean in Humboldt County? We've also got the Fish and Game Commission coming to town. We figure out whether this is going to be another dog and pony show for a listing or delisting, or if this one they're really looking for some input. And we've also got, the author of the ordinance for the occupied here in the studio with us this afternoon, and we'll spend a little bit of time, not what the decision is, but how do you write or how do you craft something like that that is a little extraordinary? So we'll talk about that also when we come back.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time is 416. We're back talking shop this afternoon with Mr. Smith, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, this is an interesting one. Charlotte Bronte. Is that how you pronounce it? I've got like a sideways colon over an E. So it's not the foo-foo line. It's, I guess, Bronte. We'll go with that. Prejudices, it's well known, are most difficult to eradicate from the heart, whose soil has never been loosened or fertilized by education. They grow there firm as weeds among rocks.
Yeah.
Glad to see you. Do you want to incorporate this one into the show?
No.
Okay, because all I would have done is reshuffle the order, that's all.
I'm sure, yeah, you would have been weeding out the good thoughts.
All over it, baby. Fish and Game Commission. I think most of us who've been around for more than a couple of sunsets take an awful lot of what we hear from about the Fish and Game with pound and a half of salt. I think the last big foo-foo that a lot of us remember was when it was going into the listing of the spotted owl. And some of the theatrics associated with that. But the general takeaway that a lot of people had was, mind made up, decision already occurred, have to do this on the checkoff list to have the public meeting. So when you mentioned before the show the public meeting for Fish and Game Commission, I immediately zipped to what has happened, not necessarily what will occur in the future. What is the goal of this visitation from Fish and Game?
Now remember, you told me just a moment ago it was okay to do corrective things.
Absolutely. Correct away.
Now, you're sure now. This isn't going to lead into one of those tit-for-tat.
It might. That's okay. Called good radio.
Because the original listing, I think, for the whole owl issue came from the federal government. And that's one of the reasons that we've got the rural schools, secure schools money, and we're going
through U.S. Fish and Game. Yeah.
It's U.S. Fish and Game.
Is this U.S. Fish and Game or California Fish and Game?
U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is one of the lead agencies for natural resources for the feds, yeah. Locally, though, I can see we're going to go afar here today. I can see it coming. The California Fish and Game Commission, although it does oversee endangered species for state listing purposes, they're here for a number of reasons. I think they're going to be looking at fisheries. They're going to be looking at, I haven't seen the full agenda yet, but they'll be here on the 11th of April, starting in the morning. And one of the most notable reasons that they'll be here in Humboldt is that the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors invited them to get Humboldt back on the circuit. typically they met northern, eastern, western, southern, central, around the state, and then as travel became tougher, Humboldt got dropped off the list. And we felt that because we have some of the most unique river systems and forests in the country, and that we provide a lot of the fisheries that are attractive for recreation and commercial, and they're known worldwide.
When you say fish and wildlife, mm-hmm. there's not too many places that have got more of either.
No.
That are part of the state.
Yeah. So we invited them back, and I really want to give the commission and their staff and Department of Fish and Game a lot of credit, because they said, good idea, we need to do that. We need to come back to Humboldt. So here they come, and that's a good thing. We'll be able to talk about rockfish seasons. We'll hear about salmon as people go to testify during the public comment period if it's a non-agendized item. But probably one of the most important things is they're bringing forward the environmental document to adopt the North Coast Array for the Marine Life Protection Act, the work that we all did.
So in regular guy terms, they're going to talk about the spot off the coast where the crab are and some of the fish, and making that a protected area and not allowing fishing there?
The ones that were proposed by the regional stakeholders group. That's the array that is coming before them in the environmental document. They want to hear what we have to say. However, there are some changes that were put into that document over the objections of the regional stakeholders group and the Blue Ribbon Task Force, of which I was honored to be one of the members.
So some of the fishermen may have gotten some traction on their arguments?
No.
No?
No, as a matter of fact, they went ahead, this list of areas that there was an agreement by the stakeholders. This was the appointed group through Fish and Game and through the Act and through the governor's office. Those two groups, the regional stakeholders and the Blue Ribbon Task Force, they came to agreement on the array that was proposed after months and months and months and months of meetings. They forwarded that to the commission. In that concept, that array, which was universally adopted and supported with a lot of debate and a lot of angst, they came to agreement, they forwarded that one. Now there have been changes proposed in those boundaries by certain people within the resources agency. And what we're saying is, don't do that. You never in history have had a group of people as diverse as that, environmental groups, fishermen, hunters, hikers, people who are supporters for keeping parks intact, whoever you may be, came together, accepted input, put it together on paper, and submitted it. Don't deviate from that course. Give it your blessing and send it down the road. It meets the spirit and the intent of the legislation, and it's about as good as it's going to get.
So what is the public hearing designed to do? Pretty much to
accept your input.
Smack them in public?
Well, for my part, I'm going to ask them again, and I'll pull out the documents from the Board of Supervisors, which I helped author, that state, stick to this. This is good work. You've never seen an agreement like this before. This is
so
like...
So this is staff thinking that they know better?
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 4:23. We'll be back with more from Jimmy Smith.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family.
We live it, we reveal it, the Northwood spirit, Northwood Chevrolet.
And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 426. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith. Jimmy, as you look at this meeting or in anticipation of the meeting with State Fish and Game in a couple weeks, do you anticipate, are they looking for input? Is this one of the times where they really are looking for input, either confirmation of the plan? Confirmation of the plan as it had been presented prior to this latest adjustment? Or are they looking for actual new ideas to consider putting into this plan?
Well, on that part of their meeting, which relates to the Marine Life Protection Act, they have within their document 8 deviations from the array that was presented to them by the regional stakeholders. Now, that's the people from...
Eight different
deviations, and some of those, most of those are boundary changes to make their enforcement capability better in their determination. Some of them, you know, like the one in South Humboldt Bay, in my opinion, are not reasonable at all. How we deliver that so that they stay with what we ask them to do is going to be, you know, it's going to be a difficult task. We want to be politically correct. We want to be accurate in terms
Rewind. What was that?
No. Politically correct.
You want to be politically correct?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, because...
Why not do what's right?
Because most of the people that have been involved in this are really good people. And whoever included things like trying to take a huge amount of South Humboldt Bay and place it rather than the defined area that we or the stakeholders agreed to, those are really unfair in my mind. So we'll try to bring it back to where it was.
Sounds like you want to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Not the politically correct thing.
Well, politically correct is to stand before, and we sat we had a joint Blue Ribbon Task Force and California Department of Fish and Game Commission meeting in Sacramento when this array came forward, and the Secretary of Resources, John Laird, stood up and gave the opening welcome to all of us, and he even said, you know, this is unheard of to have a group of people come up with an agreed-upon plan. Please adopt this. Move it ahead.
So where did these 8 last-minute changes come from then? Everybody is saying this is great stuff.
In all fairness, some of them were argued up front. I mean, after the array was made, then departmental staff came back and said, well, we don't think this will work for this reason, that reason.
So positions that were... that lost in the discussions are being re-injected again?
Well, they never...
Through a different door?
They never went away, and I'm not sure that a lot of them... They're still in the document, so it's up to the commission. They weren't part of the day-to-day conversation about what happened to generate a document of this magnitude. What happened with all of the concessions that were made by the different groups, whether they were fishermen or whether they were tribes, the things that happened in that multitude of discussions were eventually put on paper in full consensus agreement. So that is the standard never reached anywhere along the entire California coast. It's something you don't hear about anywhere.
So everybody's standing shoulder to shoulder the group side.
Yeah.
But there's still some that aren't satisfied, and they're going to try to bring their own agenda into the document?
More or less.
Okay. So the meeting is in April on
the 11th. Yeah.
What time, where is it?
I think, if I remember correctly, it starts at 8:30 in the morning, and it is an opportunity for people to, there will be an opportunity to speak. And, you know, the commission was really good. I enjoyed the meeting that we had, our joint meeting in Sacramento, and they were very attentive. And I thought they had good comments. And I'm actually looking forward to spending some time with them and trying to convey our concerns as well as, you know, move this thing along. It's It's been a difficult and very long process.
8:30 at?
Red Lion.
The Red Lion. Signs will be there on site. KINS, News and Information Times, 431. To the food and to the meeting. We'll be back.
Come.
Now, a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lampus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 435. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Jimmy Smith. We've heard an awful lot about wind power in the area. We've had people
experience some in here today.
Yes, we've had people out here, and my understanding is that there are places where it's too windy, that there really is an optimum 20 to 30 mile an hour. That's the range that they want. So if you're a little bit more than that, you can burn things up. And if it's a little bit less than that, you don't generate enough to make it worthwhile. Are they still looking in and throughout Humboldt County, looking for locations to either attract wind power, or possibly to sell the property to the folks that are interested in that kind of thing?
Well, I think a couple years back, there was some studies conducted up on Singley Hill on the east side of Lolita. I don't know exactly how they turned out, but I know the Bear River Band, the tribe, actually worked with a consultant to see if they could accommodate some wind energy. And I don't know in the end what the full determination was. And of course, the other one is Bear River Ridge, just south of Ferndale. And that turns out to be probably one of the more controversial issues for Ferndale, Petrolia, and Honeydew that I've been involved in.
Why? Why is it controversial?
Well, in the initial study, there were, and they're doing their draft EIR now, they looked at transportation methodology and they looked at what some of the problem areas might be. And probably, unfortunately for Shell, one of those consultants determined that in order to meet the entranceway to effectively get up the first couple of switchbacks on the Wildcat out of Ferndale, that they may have to realign the road, and there was a possibility that some of the houses would have to be removed.
And some of those are right close to the road?
Yeah, and some of those houses are, they're beautiful homes, and they're historically significant. They've all been restored, and so of course the people that live there, they immediately heard about that part of it. They pulled up the document, and Shell said right away, well, that's all draft, and it's one little component.
This is to get the pieces up to the site?
Yeah, because it will take some pretty significant trucks, trailers, to be able to haul the components.
Yeah.
So the alignment was an issue for them, evidently, in that first phase of the document. So when that came out, that raised the flag to start with, and from that point forward, there has been little trust between the company involved and the business community, and I'm going to say probably the majority of the residents in Ferndale. I know there's a lot of people I haven't heard from, but I surely have heard from a lot that are very, very concerned.
So the concern is getting the stuff up there so they can assemble these towers?
There's a lot of concerns. The ones I heard at the meetings that I attended were, I don't know that it's fair for me to. Well, I can certainly convey what I heard, and what I heard was they're worried about realignment. So what's going to happen to the road? If the road has to have significant changes, does that mean there could be a change in the roads that lead to the Wildcat? That would mean that some of those houses, yards, sidewalks, whatever, would have to be somehow changed so that it would accommodate those trucks. Second, and probably just as much a concern for folks on both sides of the Wildcat, was what sort of disruption was there going to be to their ability to travel in and out of the Mattole Valley. And,
during the construction period.
During the construction period, right. Or when they were setting up their staging, their materials over time, their concrete, whatever.
Different stuff associated with it.
So they were very concerned about that and known the fragile.
Wouldn't the county, Jimmy, benefit from having the road straightened out, stabilized? I know that we've heard from Tom Matz a number of times about not having enough to maintain the county roads. I would think if these folks were needing to do this stuff to get the product up there, that the full financial responsibility would be there, and at the end the road would be safer, would be better maintainable, and that the communities along the way would be in a better position. Am I missing something?
Well, that may be true, and I have sort of stayed my distance from the people at Shell. I informed them that, aside from a question I asked them about mineral rights a few weeks ago, that my preference was to hear their information in a public forum like the city council chambers, and they have gone to the city council chambers regularly, and they're going to do a public meeting, I believe, this spring, probably next month. And that'll be an opportunity to get more information on whether there really would be road realignment, what their options are.
So this is kind of like the first discussion point. The company, the residents, the city, they haven't gotten together yet in a room and
They have shared?
They have,
yeah. Okay. On a couple of occasions now, they've had major meetings with Ferndale City Council, and the council has taken action, one, to ask for a rescoping period for their environmental document.
What does that mean?
It means that their original EIR may not have had the confidence because it didn't have all of the proposed project elements on paper.
So it wasn't an accurate document?
I don't know that it would be inaccurate, but it would be incomplete in those terms. So what they did was they asked for reconsideration, have that a rescoping session, and they sent that to the planner who oversees the environmental document for Shell. Shell pays for it, the county oversees the process, and that's what's happening. So all of those questions, plus more, noise, visibility from a distance, what's it going to do to the skyline outside of Ferndale? What's going to happen with, and one of the things that came up with, are there going to be impacts to water quality for people who have wells or water supplies that are downstream from or downhill?
Down the hill, yeah.
Yeah, and the list kind of went on.
Doesn't all that stuff normally get addressed in an EIR?
Yes, yeah.
So just because that information hadn't been provided yet?
Well, part of it was in some of those answers are available or they're being generated, but the document's not been fully circulated. And they have to go back with that rescoping part of it and include some of those areas that might be relevant to the project. And a lot of questions that came up for me from individuals were, well, they can put a footprint down, and then they can expand it by miles along the ridge. And they couldn't do that. They have to propose a project as it's designed.
With boundaries. And
yeah, with boundaries.
All terms, yeah.
And then they would have to go back later on and come up with another expanded footprint and do the additional work if they wanted to expand it.
So where's the skepticism from? Just lack of communication or inherent to a development from a large company?
Well, I think people are afraid of a large corporation. I think they are afraid of what might happen with because there's essentially, until you get over to Bear River or the monument, you've got two ways in and out of that Mattole Valley, and they're worried about what disruption's going to take place with construction. And in fact, Ferndale has said already that they prefer not to have any of that construction or staging of those trucks going through the town of Ferndale.
So KINS, News and Information Times, 4:45. We'll be back with more from Jimmy Smith.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 4:48. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Jimmy Smith. Jimmy, it seems to me as if this is the first step in a long process for the, I guess, what do you call them? Wind towers? Wind collectors? Wind whatever's? Do you see this going to be solved or killed quickly, or is this going to be a multiple year process of going through and going through and going through before resolution one way or another?
Well, my sense is, and I try to say it without too much bias, that most of the people that I've been dealing with are really skeptical about the benefits of the project for this area. They, a lot of people think that there are subsidies in place that make it very attractive for Shell, or it doesn't matter.
Or anybody.
I shouldn't probably even say their name. Whoever would be doing that type of project. The benefits, though, would not be received by the people in those immediate areas. That's the way that they see it. So the cost-to-benefit ratio would be okay for the producer of that power, for the whatever credits would be available for green energy, and to meet compliance standards for California's green energy calculations. But for the average person, I think they're worried that their quality of life is going to be affected for a whole range of reasons.
So this is like the Eel River water being diverted out and not getting compensated for it. Similar for this argument.
Yeah.
So you can cut through it. Cut through it, man. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking shop, I think, with Jimmy Smith. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Someone you love to see you tomorrow.